Welcome to Sprinkle with Hope, your host Shane, and today we have an amazing guest, Alfox Caraway. She, if you don't know her, is a writer, a multi-award-winning international speaker. She's an author of some books that she mentions in our podcast. She really is so cool. I got the chance to listen to her speak last year, and she is amazing.
Yeah, this podcast was so fun. Me and Shane really enjoyed it. Just her, you know, just the way that she talks and carries herself, her answers. And, you know, she's been through some difficult times, and like I think that we all have, and she gives some really good advice on how to help deal with challenges and things. So stay tuned. Here we go with Alfox Caraway.
Welcome to the Sprinkled with Hope podcast.
Welcome to our podcast, Sprinkle with Hope. We have an amazing guest with us today, Alfox Caraway. Al, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Hi, thank you.
Al's in the middle of painting, right?
Were you around for the house saga?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So we were in a hotel for like 34 days because closing on our house went terribly wrong. Now we're in our house. We see it for the first time as we're moving in, and we realize, oh, we have a lot of work to do. So
it never ends either.
No, yes, right. I have four different color paints on my hand from four different color rooms.
Awesome. That's when you know it's going well.
Great things happening over here. Nothing to see here.
That's awesome. Well, Al, for our listeners who may not know you, why don't you just give a little introduction of who you are and just a little bit about you. Whatever you want to say is fair game.
So I'm Al. I'm originally from New York. I lived about 11 years in the West Coast, divided between Arizona and Utah. I got three kids, and I write books, and I've been public speaking for over 10 years now.
That's so awesome. What got you into public speaking? Why did you do that?
Well, define want.
Yeah.
So this is back in the day. Influencers wasn't a thing. Blogs like weren't even a thing. Intentional marketing like for yourself as a brand wasn't even a thing. It all actually started with me bearing my testimony. And someone's like, you should talk to my young woman's. And I'm like, cool, what's that? Because I got baptized when I was 21, and it was a singles branch. And so it just sort of started within like a ward thing, and it just word of mouth, and it exploded. So I've been out of the country multiple times, and I've won a few awards with it, and I can't imagine not doing it. But it's ironic because in college I got straight A's. I don't know how that happened either, but it happened. But except one class, and not only was it not an A, I flunked it miserably and completely. It was public speaking. So I definitely didn't actively seek out like, I want to talk. How do I do it? It was like, I guess I can do that since you're asking so nicely.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, so what's like the most exciting thing happening in your life right now, Al?
Not being homeless. Oh, that's exciting.
That is exciting.
Building a home. I don't know. Life has been different. A lot of people haven't seen changes because of COVID, but I was someone who was leaving almost every single weekend, at least three weekends out of the month, to travel and speak. And everything got canceled. So now I'm just like hanging out. I go on a lot of walks. Did move to New York. My youngest just turned one a few weeks ago. Both our kids, other two kids, learned how to ride their bikes. I don't know, a lot of family stuff happening, a lot of Zoom conferences happening. Yeah.
So are you going to still travel and talk, or?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I found that Zoom is actually harder than flying. because I got like a zillion kids in here that are not quiet, and it's been a task.
Yeah,
I'll pick it up. I mean, I released a new book, and that was good in the, for that season. So I think I'll just go, now that the writing grind kind of let up, I'll go back and speak and see what happens.
That's awesome. Cool. So what
what's
kind
your
of,
book?
Yeah.
What?
What's I was going to say, book? What kind of what books? You... Yeah.
So I have 3 full books out, not including like forewords and stuff that I've done. So my newest one is Wildly Optimistic. It's Gaining New Perspective for Life's Challenges. And this is probably the greatest thing to ever exist in my, like the greatest thing that could ever come out of me. So each chapter is a theme within a trial. So a chapter would be like when we doubt, when it's not what we wanted, when God is silent, when we don't know what's right, when we want to give up. And so those are the chapters. And then it's just filled with my life, man. My life is just a magnet for things falling in the habit of going from bad to worse to even worse. Like, this is just a consistent thing. So things are either going bad or it's worse or it's even worse. Those are usually how my life fits in. And so it's kind of like, it's brutally honest about those times where we're screaming at God, wondering where he is and if he cares about us, and how to find him in those times where we don't hear him, and how to keep going when we just don't want to anymore, and when we put so much in and we're not seeing anything come out. So that's my newest book.
That's awesome. I love that philosophy, because I mean I've had some pretty hard challenges myself in life, and I love that outlook that, you know, when those times, like, we feel that there isn't anything, there's no hope and all hope is lost, that we, you know, if we just push a little bit, we hopefully will find that hope, right? Or, and we'll get on the other side of it.
Yeah. So I'm like, I feel like I'm by nature an optimist, and that doesn't mean like you're happy all the time or that bad days don't come. It just means that even on hard days, you know that it won't last, and better ones are coming, and there's something to learn and cherish during everything. And it means you're proactive in your moments of crumbling, and you look for lessons and opportunities and light. And I feel like I do really good at that when like the uncharted, the unwanted and unexpected come up. I almost feel like I'm like, cool, what's going to come from this? But what's hardest for me is passing time. So I can be, I don't want to say excited about bad things happening, but a little bit, because I have the optimism and faith to be like, cool, what's going to come from this? Because I know something will. But what's hardest for me is the passing time, because I feel like your faith runs a little bit thin and your optimism gets a little exhausted. And then you get to a point where you feel like you almost earn the trial to be over by doing the right things. Does that make sense? And so it's like the cycle that I go into where I'm like, okay, cool, great, this is great, and you go at it full force, and then weeks pass and then months pass, and you're like, oh, this isn't great anymore, I feel like something should have happened by now, and it hasn't, so what does that mean? And so I've been learning the lesson over and over again, and that's just, there is another way to look at things. What is it? And I've learned that God knows something we don't. What is it? And so that's kind of the mindset that I tackle things on. And while I'm going through the cycle of, cool, wait, what? Ah, no.
Yeah, I'm sure you feel like you're still in that cycle by moving from, I think you said, Arizona back to New York, and just being in a hotel for so long that you probably felt in that cycle and like, when is this going to end? But now you're in a home and you're remodeling, so that's great. That is hard to keep that perspective though.
I like to think of the woman, the one with the blood disease, and she's the one like reaching out in desperation trying to grab his clothes. And I feel like life just has its way of sometimes metaphorically or literally just brings us to the ground. And sometimes we just feel buried in the crown. And I mean, crowd, and we don't know who she is. She's not named in the scriptures, but how much we can sometimes relate to her, where you put everything in and you're not getting what you want out. And we feel unnamed or alone or unimportant. And I mean, she went her whole life investing in everything she had to find relief and change and healing, and it just didn't happen. And she probably started to think that maybe she's the exception to life getting better. Maybe she's the exception to these promised blessings we feel like we're working towards and we were told about our entire existence within this church. And that's kind of me, you know, that passing time. But our Savior is a one by one Savior, and holding on to that has been helpful. Like when we hear that our God is an unchanging God, we're like, okay, commandments, that's cute. But it's not just commandments. It's like, wait, our unchanging God also means that our helping God will always be a helping God. And our God of miracles will always be a God of miracles, and a God of comfort and hope will always be that. And he's helped me before and he will do it again. And I mean, I know why I wasn't an apostle back in the day, because, you know, Christ, he stops in the middle. I mean, you think of the streets back in the days of Jesus, and they're like in the middle of these busy, like shoulder to shoulder streets where you're like sardines, and Christ stops right in the middle of this moving traffic, like this force of people. And he's like, who touched me? And if I were there, I would just, I'm going to laugh at you. Like, you're crazy. Like everyone is touching you. What do you mean? And that's where remembering that our Savior is a one by one Savior, one who notices us on the ground, in the dirt, buried under the crowd, noticed and worthy. You know, he stops for us and he comes to us and he helps us and he heals us. And when I feel like he has turned his back on me, like, you just turn around and remember that he's one by one and unchanging.
Oh, I love that so much. I really do. Because I think oftentimes we, you know, and I think sometimes we have a hard time to have gratitude when we're in those situations, right? But gratitude, I think, would be the thing to get us past that. And so, because we can be grateful for even the most difficult times, right? Because that's often when we learn the most, is when we're right in the thick of it and we, you know, have these issues with the blood or, you know, whatever is in our life, whether it's, I got to move from Arizona to New York or, or, you know, I lost my job or, you know, whatever it is in our life. And we just feel like we're in a kind of a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So how do you have gratitude when you're in that situation, or have you found that gratitude helps, or what's your thought?
I mean, yeah, I think gratitude is good for your brain. I'm not always good at it, but I think I think I'm better at looking for lessons than I am choosing to be grateful. Because in my mind, I'm like, I'm not grateful for this. Like this, I'm more of like the East Coast honest, like, nope, I'm not grateful for this right now because I hate it. That's how my brain works. But I'm more proactive and in a better mindset when I'm like, okay, what can I grow from? What can I build off of? So I'm more like problem solving than I'm like, okay, let's stop and reflect. I'm like, no, let's do something about it. What is that? Let's look for those lessons. Let's see if I'm receiving what I'm asking for and it's packaged differently. Like I'm always looking and trying to piece together something in a different viewpoint, because I realize that my personal desires and vision is sorely limited and inaccurate in the span of God's vision. So gratitude, yes, do it. It's great. I'm not good at it. I've heard it works great. I cannot tell you from personal experience.
But you said you were looking more at the lesson that you're learning from whatever you're going through. And I think that's also a very interesting perspective, that you're looking more towards seeing what you're learning versus saying, I'm grateful for this trial that I'm going through. You're saying, what am I learning from this?
Yes.
I go ahead.
Well, that's like the writer in me. So I'm always subconsciously thinking, how can I turn this into something where it's beneficial for others? And a lot of the time, and I think how my channel and what I'm doing has grown 100% organically, is looking for and talking about feelings. So we all go through things completely different, but we all feel the same. So if I am recognizing, wait, I'm mad at God right now, then I can be like, oh, I know other people are mad at God. What does this mean? What could this mean for others? How did it help me before to get out of it? How can I write this to help others? But also, like, I at recognizing that I unconsciously limit a limitless God helps me with perspective. I subconsciously have just put this box around them saying, like, oh, this is how they work. This is how they worked for me. This is how they've answered my prayers in the past. So, like, this is just how they do it. And that gets you into trouble, because then you miss everything else. Because the reality is, God is always there. So if you're not seeing him, hearing him, feeling him, then what can I alter to change that? Is he coming at me in different ways? And it's just going completely over my head because of this box I put around them. And so it's like a search and find. If I remove these blinders that I have on and this box that I put around them, and allow him to show me what next and what else, then you can really understand who else he is and what he is to you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that made sense.
No, it makes great sense.
Yeah.
Because, I think we put this idea of what he is, right? Or how he's going to help us with something. And so, we're almost limiting him in helping us by putting these barriers, right? And I think sometimes we do the same things with ourselves, right? By boxing ourselves in, and we say, oh, we can't do this thing because I can't get past that. And so I think it goes kind of both ways with ourselves and with God helping us, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it was also really cool that you said you are looking at how to help other people. And I think you've done that a lot throughout your life, at least the last, whatever few years, that you're looking outward and saying, hey, I've learned some lessons and I want to help other people. I think that's so cool. I just think that's really awesome. So is there plans for other books or?
I mean, probably. When I wrote my first one, and when I finished that, I'm like, I'm done. Like, I have nothing left in me. Like, every piece of knowledge I've ever attained in my life is in that book. Like, there can't be another one, because my brain is emptied. You know it all. And then, a year passed and I wrote another one, and then I was like, that's it, I'm done. Like, I have nothing left. That's my brain. And then obviously I wrote a third one, and that one really was like my life's work. I honestly feel like I existed for that book, and everything else is like just noise. And so if you ask me now, I got nothing left. But at the same time, every day I have my notes section on my phone, and I'm just ideas that come, things I've learned. Like, I wrote an entire book on challenges, and yet I went through one of the hardest challenges of my life a month ago. And so it's like, well, that didn't make it into the book. Where's that going to go?
Right. I mean, like, right. Yeah.
So I'm probably, I don't have an idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Today you're spent. All your ideas are on paper, but maybe next year.
Come back to me next year. I don't know.
So you brought up a good point, and that is, you know, how you kind of dealt with challenges or you know, talked about them. So how do we deal with challenges? Do you have some insights there that will help us deal with those? Or
yeah, I think the perspective, I think, is a lot of what we were talking, taking a step back and remembering who God is, and his purpose is to bring us to the better things and to make us better, even if those paths there are unwanted or longer than anticipated. I remember just barely, you know, we drove across the country. All of us fit in one car, five of us with a big giant dog, and we didn't stop. We drove from Arizona to New York. It was over 2,200 miles and over 44 hours, and we did not stop. No hotel, nothing.
Wow.
And we matched it up to get here on closing day, and we ended up in a hotel. We had nowhere to go, and that was the worst thing. It was like emotional whiplash. Every day things changed. Every day things got worse. And we go through these things and we're like, wait, how is this possible? Because we feel like when we are following the Spirit, when we are doing what God wants us to do, how are we led to something completely falling apart? I think of just how freaky parallel that was to like the whole barges thing. So yeah. You have like the brother of Jared, his real name, what is so many syllables? I can't even try and guess what we think his name is. But like, he was told to build a barge and he's like, okay. So he did it because God told him to, but he did it in the way that God himself showed him how to do it. He had, quote, step-by-step instructions like the entire time. He was led through the whole process. And it wasn't until he's looking at the final product that God told him to do and showed him step-by-step instructions to do that he was like, wait, like there's no light in them, we can't see, like wait, we can't breathe in this, wait, we survive this thing, is that possible when we did it what he wanted us to do in the way that he wanted us to? And I just think of, you know, the brother of Jared is problem solving like every logical resolve that he can come up with, because he takes them to the Lord explaining all of these logical solutions that he comes up with, saying like, oh, windows and fire, but wait, that can't work, you know, for X, Y, and Z reasons. And to him, he is in a dead end. That's it. There's no way. There are no avenues. There is no resolve. That's it. I'm screwed. And that's us. You know, we do these logical problem solvings that sometimes just say, that's it. It's a dead end. This can't work. Nothing, you know, this is where it ends. But it wasn't until after he's exhausted all of these logical, you know, ideas that he takes it to the Lord, and it wasn't until he works it out with the Lord that a completely new avenue and idea comes, and obviously illogical. I mean, stones, like, right. Are you right. Like, what, come again? What did we come up with? How'd we make it here? So now you're here with these stones and you're like, well, I didn't see that coming, but we're in motion again. That's my relationship with him. You do all that you can, and you throw your hands up thinking all is lost and you're at a dead end and you wonder why and how. But then when you keep on trucking and you keep turning and crying to him, you come up with something illogical and you're like, well, I guess we're in motion again, and remembering that you know, the spirit's not logical, it's spiritual. So you just embrace the unexpected. And I think the adversary wins when we stand still. So you just gotta keep giving them something to work with.
Yeah.
That's such great advice.
That is great advice.
That's really cool. So we have...
I am pretty cool.
Yes, you are.
You are pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
So, Al, we have something that we call the double down dose. So we have two questions for you. I have a question, then Jason will ask you a question. So my question is, when you hear the word hope, what does that mean to you?
Is this supposed to be like a rapid fire round answer?
Nope, that's the question. Oh. When you hear the word hope, what does that mean to you?
Hope means future, I guess. Hope means continuing. It just, yeah. Yeah, there's more to come.
Yeah.
I love that you said that future. That's awesome.
That is cool. That is
not
cool.
Up to par. Do you want me to keep going?
I can ramble about anything.
That is a great, great answer.
It is a great answer. So my question that we always kind of like to finish up with is what is your definition of love, or how would you define it?
I think when I think of love, when I think of God and love, there's a big misconception that that's something that we need to earn. And that is never accurate or the case. And I think the best way for me to wrap my brain, you know, I sometimes wonder why God would ever want to be yoked to someone like me, because I fail and I fall and I wonder and I wander. And it comes back to this love, that unchanging, like we talked about, this love. Well, how is that? And I think of a parent who just had a baby, and you're in the hospital and you're holding this baby right when they're born, and you look down at it and you're just consumed with just like this overwhelming love. And it's not because the baby did anything. It couldn't. It was just born. It didn't do anything to earn that love. But the love was so overwhelming simply because it was theirs. And I think that is what I think of when it comes to love, is that you don't have to earn it. Like, you are enough. You are enough as is, simply because you are his. Like, you are his. And that is everything.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That is true. We are enough.
Yeah, absolutely hit the nail on the head. I mean, we are enough, and we have worth. I mean, we were born with worth, right? That's why, you know, when, you know, you're holding a little baby, you see it in their eyes, you see it in their face. They are born with worth. And
yeah,
somewhere along the way, sometimes we lose that a little bit, I think.
Well, yeah, we lose sight of it. It's back in the days of Mary, mother of Mary, you know, there's tons of young Jewish girls that would talk like, oh, am I going to be the mother of Jesus? Because of Isaiah's prophecy, there was actually like a lot of speculation going on, like, oh, maybe it's me, like, oh. But Mary, who ended up being obviously the mother of Christ, she never did that. A handmaid. She refers to herself as a handmaid, and the translation of that word is actually slave. And it's just, we do that to ourselves. We just somehow get this disconnect between how God sees us and how we see us and what we think we're capable of and worthy of versus what he already has strategically planned out for us. And so, yeah, that worth and that view doesn't ever change with him. And yet, you know, sometimes we do this thing and we get it all weird and backwards, and yet we're still receiving because that's who he is.
Yeah.
Some really good advice. That's awesome. That is so awesome advice. Is there anything that you want? How do our listeners get in contact with you if they want? Is there anything you want to share that they can contact you or?
Well, probably not emailing because I'm really bad at it. It's like a black hole. if you get a hold of me, just be really nice to me. And I'm on Instagram. Okay. I'm on the Facebook. I write. I'm there for my long captions. So if you want some updated saga stories of my life, they're in my captions, updated daily. My books, Wildly Optimistic, More Than the Tattooed Mormon. That's more of like a conversion, everything that fell apart because I joined the church. Cheers to Eternity. That's a quirky marriage and dating. It's hilarious. Those are all anywhere books are sold. Just type in Al Caraway, A-L, like a dude.
Yeah, we really appreciate your time with us today, Al. We're so grateful for your time and your insight into things. It's been an amazing discussion with you. We're very grateful.
Yes, thank you, Al, for coming on and joining us. And I hope that everything works out with your painting that you got going on. And
yeah, this was a good commercial break for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Back to the grind. Are people going to, can they see this or are they just listening? Can they see me in my socks and my sweatpants?
Oh yeah. They're seeing all of you.
I got no makeup on. Welcome. I was talking and peeling the paint off my fingers though. So you got that going for me.
There you go.
You should have said something. I would have turned my camera. Like, Al, what you're doing sucks. Would that have made a difference?
Oh, hey, it was awesome.
You know what? I like raw. And
yeah,
you know, that's the real you. They're getting a full-fledged picture and view of the real Al.
My bet is made, so we have that.
There you go.
They saw me chugging water that whole time.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. That's the best part about it.
This is Sprinkled with Hope. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend.
If you like our podcast, please give us a review or rating.